All right, nice to have you back with us. The Giants go for the sweep today against the Colorado Rockies at Oracle Park. Anthony DeSclafani on the hill. Bill, I'm going to let you say that a couple of times.
Disco!
And Germán Márquez, who's given the Giants some trouble in the past. Joining us now, he writes for The Athletic, and boy, I love talking baseball with this guy. At Extra Bags with two G's on Twitter. One of the veteran sports writers in the Bay Area, baseball writer extraordinaire, three-time Jeopardy champion, and it is Andy Baggerly. Extra Bags, how are you?
Hey, Marty. The check is in the mail for that introduction.
Oh, come on. We love having you on.
And kind.
Yeah, you know, actually, give us a little of your background, where you started in covering baseball and everything, because here we are 2021, and I'm sure you've covered a lot of ground in your time.
Yeah, my first baseball game I ever covered was in 1996 at Wrigley Field. It was Dodgers Cubs, and I was working as a stringer or a freelancer for a little paper in Southern California, the San Bernardino County Sun, which was also ended up being my first job out of college. And then I covered Dodger and Angel home games for them because they were a smaller paper and didn't travel. And then I went to the Press Enterprise in Riverside, which was a little bit bigger paper at the time. Unfortunately, not what it used to be now, but I was able to travel full time with the Angels in 2000, 2001. Then our Dodger writer got a job covering the Baltimore Orioles, and they said, "Do you want to move over and cover the National League in 2002?" And I said, "Yeah, the Dodgers are always on the front page. I'm back on the tire ads with the Angels all the time. I want to cover the big team, in the big market, you know, cover the National League." And then the Angels go and win the World Series in 2002, and I'm stuck covering a Dodger team that didn't really go anywhere. So did a couple of years on the Dodger beat and then came up to the Bay Area in 2004, first with the Oakland Tribune, then the Mercury News, then Comcast Sportsnet Bay Area, then back to the Mercury News, and now at the Athletic. So it's been close to, 16, 17 years covering the Giants now.
Well, you've seen a lot of baseball, and you say out of college. You went to the University of Illinois, is that right?
Marty, I'm hanging up on you now. something like that. Our main rival. I will say that we have a firm grip on the Land of Lincoln Trophy. We haven't lost it to the Illini in several years. So.
All right, Northwestern, so people who don't know. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, Bax, how you doing, my friend?
What's up, Bill? How are you?
I'm doing good, buddy. I have missed seeing you up in the press box. I'm sure we will run into each other sooner or later in the press box, as well as with Marty. And, you know, baseball players are so superstitious. We go through so many different things. And you picked up something that happened yesterday on the NBC Bay Area postgame show that Greg Papa asked Jake McGee in their postgame coverage. And he asked him what he looked at in the hat, because players do different things, pitchers, of course. And he has it written in his hat. It says, "Feel the ball, take a breath, pound the zone." Plus, he's got his names of his wife, Morgan, and daughter, Rowan. You threw this on Twitter. I just want to hear your thoughts when you hear something like that and when you not acknowledge it, because players usually don't say that much.
Yeah, you know, for me, I think that's really noteworthy just because it reminds you that, you know, we tend to think of these guys as automatons or commodities, even more so now in today's game than in the past, I think, because everyone's got their favorite algorithm that they look at to try to build the team. But it just reminds you that this is a game played by people who have anxieties and have families and have the larger context of their lives, and they're trying to perform in very highly pressurized environments, and they all have different sort of mental cues for how to do that. So I think that's really a fascinating part of covering sports for me is not just telling you, hey, why is your curveball usage up, or asking all the granular things, but really, how do you do what you do, and what wires you, and what makes up your personality and allows you to compete at this highest level, and allows you to who does your success sort of mean the most to in terms of the other people in your lives, and telling you who these people are is probably my favorite part of the job. It's also the hardest part of the job right now because we can't go in clubhouses. So I certainly hope that in the months to come that'll change.
Andy, what's your assessment of the team so far coming out of spring training? 5-3, Seattle a challenge team, Colorado a challenge team, but they sort of hung in there with San Diego. Got the injury to Tatis, but your assessment of the first 5-3?
Yeah, I think they obviously could have won opening day. They should have won opening day, but you look at where they are now, You know, I think they've played pretty well, and it's the rotation that's led the way. Every single game has been winnable because of that rotation. We haven't seen them down like 7-1 yet, where he can get a bunch of relievers. Gabe Kapler can get a bunch of relievers work that they probably need at this point. And that's a good thing. You know, that's the best problem a manager can have is that your bullpen's too rested and you need to get work for some guys. So I think that the rotation, you have to be encouraged by the way that they've pitched thus far. Kevin Gausman definitely looks like he's going to pick up from where he was last year as one of the better pitchers in the National League, if not someone who's sort of adjacent to an ace at this point. And, you know, they've seen good things from DeSclafani, from Aaron Sanchez, guys who have been around the plate and thrown strikes. They got to get Logan Webb into the groove he was in spring training and find a way that he can fill up the strike zone and be confident in what he's throwing. But, you know, apart from that, I think they have to be really pleased with the way things have gone. Now, and we know that there's still a ton of room for improvement on the offensive side, too.
You know, Bags, Alex Wood is in the alternate site, and we just got a nice report from Johnny Dasko, who watched him pitch. He's throwing a ball better. He feels better. After the game, he said no problem with issues of the injury. Where do you see him fitting in with this rotation or maybe even in the bullpen?
Yeah, it's a great point. I mean, they're going to get to the point soon where they'll have to make a decision on Alex Wood. You know, I think he went maybe, what, 2 and change, I think, in his last outing. And so they're going to have him do another one, and maybe they'll even activate him after that next one, depending on how he does and how he feels. And he really does give them options because he's a left-hander that they could put in the rotation where they're all right-handed right now. And, you know, they can sort of see how everybody else goes along, too. And that goes for Aaron Sanchez as well. You know, it was good to see him get through 5 innings. But, yeah, it just gives them options, I think, if they think Logan Webb could work better in a shorter stint where, hey, he can just throw the heck out of his changeup and doesn't have to worry about pacing himself or showing that pitch too much because he's going to have to face, you know, a lineup multiple times. Maybe he's a guy who could slide into long relief, and that could be a way to really get him going and get the most out of the weapons that he has. So, you know, it's never a static decision. You're looking at a lot of different people and how they're performing. But, you know, certainly it'll make them a stronger staff to have Alex Wood be part of it.
Andy, what is it about baseball that drew you to baseball? I mean, coming out of Northwestern, a great education, you could have done so many things. What was it about baseball and sports writing, but baseball in particular, that drew you to the game?
You know, that's a great question. I think there's, you know, I played Little League Baseball just like everybody else. I wasn't particularly great at baseball. I was the littlest kid in my class as a kid. So, but, you know, I loved writing. I loved broadcasting. I thought for a while I wanted to be a broadcaster. And I collected baseball cards just like everybody else I grew up with. And we traded them. And, you know, that was at the time where I thought having 130 Greg Jeffries and baseball rookies and in plastic nine pocket loader sheets would fund my college education, which didn't quite work out, but I found a way anyway. But yeah, I think a lot of it was just, you know, to me, it almost was more valuable that there were fewer games on. You know, there was just the Saturday game of the week with Bob Costas and Tony Kubek, and you got to see, you know, the Cardinals once a year or the Yankees once a year. And then, you know, you'd come home from school and there'd be Vin Scully on Channel 9 or Channel 5 in Southern California. And I got to watch Dodger games a lot. I was never really a Dodger fan, though. Growing up, my family's from Chicago, so I was a Cubs fan in Southern California. And you know, staying up late to look at the scores on the 10 o'clock news and seeing that the Cubs lost again to the Pirates 6-1. You know, that was you would wait for that, and now it's all instantaneous, obviously, and that's all good. But to me, it was almost like the fact that I only got a little sip of baseball made me want more of it.
That voice you're hearing is Andrew Baggerly. He writes for The Athletic on Talking Baseball. Hey, Bags, you know, Buster Posey is playing a huge impact in the Giants in the first 8 games, but I don't want to talk about the offensive side. I want to talk on the defensive side. Yesterday, threw 2 out of the 4 base runners out with 2 beautiful throws to second base. I'd like to hear your thoughts on what he brings to the defensive side of the position.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I think that he would have had a 3rd stolen base, too. Tommy La Stella had a tag that was just a little bit up high on Raimel Tapia's shoulder. And if it was Brandon Crawford snapping that tag down, maybe he would have gotten a 3rd caught stealing. I mean, those throws were just on the money. You couldn't have placed them any better. And really, Buster was throwing great in 2019, too. This is something that is not, even when he was compromised, you know, maybe he was a little less explosive out of the crouch, but he's always had a really accurate, good arm. And I think it's gotten better as the years have gone on. So, and it's interesting to watch his technique. He's a guy who will go down to one knee. He will do some of these different things to try to steal strikes at the bottom of the zone. And he did. He got a number of really nice framing strikes, I thought, yesterday, and has done a good job of that. So, you know, there are ways to quantify a catching defense that he grades out really well on. And there's a lot of things that you can't quantify. And I think a lot of that has to do with just having, you know, the game in capable hands. And you know, the catcher's the only person who faces the rest of your team, right? So they're the ones who kind of conduct everything and make sure that a pitcher's working at a good pace. And you feel like the game is always under someone's control. And I think that Buster really brings that stabilizing presence. And as hard as that may be to quantify, it's something that I think is pretty obvious when you watch the game.
You know, I think Crawford does the same thing. He's out on the field, but I think he does the same thing. And Bruce and I were talking about it a little bit in our segment. This guy in Woe, too, he's a throwback to the shortstops of the 50s, 60s, 70s. You know, he's not Seager. He's not Garcia Parr. He's not A-Rod. But he is one of those guys. He hits 250 and drives in 60 runs, and 52 of the 60 are big runs to be driven in. So my question is, Crawford, maybe a little bit of perspective on his career. And two, where's it going? Can he come back next year?
Well, I wouldn't rule it out. I mean, I think it will require him probably having a good year. If he has a really bad year, then that's going to make it really tough. And we know that there's a lot of the higher priced, big impact free agents play that position. And we know the Giants are going to have a lot of money to spend. It doesn't mean that they're going to, look to spend it at shortstop. They could do other things. But, I think there is an avenue for Brandon Crawford to remain a Giant. I know that he's going to want to remain a Giant if there's any way to do that. There's just so much that has to happen between now and then. It's hard to make a call. But if you're asking me if it's possible, I'd say, yeah. Is it likely? I don't know if I would go that far, but I would say that it's certainly possible. And if anything, I think that you look at the whole breadth of his career, going on a decade now, he's about to become the all-time franchise leader at games played at the position, going back 138 seasons. It's how many times did he play hurt where he never showed it? How many times did he play, through something? And you go back, and I'm kind of stunned when I think about who's the most competent backup shortstop that Brandon Crawford has had in 10 years. I mean, it's probably Joaquin Arias. You can't really think of anybody that you could throw out there if Crawford missed, 2 months or 3 months, that you would want to have as an everyday shortstop. And, that's a luxury not all teams have. But, man, they have not had a whole lot of – there's a lot of times – when he's had to play because the drop off from him to the next guy was pretty big. And he does a lot of quiet things to help you win a game. And I think that's really an interesting thing about this first start to the season, as you've got Crawford making an impact, Posey making an impact, Longoria, Cueto coming an out away from a complete game. This is not just a youth driven movement here, as a lot of sort of retooling efforts are. It's still a team with a lot of veterans, and they're obviously veterans who have something in the tank and have some leadership ability and have some ability on the field. And how about Brandon Belt telling Gabe Kapler, hey, leave Johnny Cueto in, give him another shot to finish the game. If that's a 23-year-old up from AA, he's not telling the manager that in that conference, but you've got veteran players who are willing to put in input in how this team is being managed. And I think Gabe Kapler is listening to them. And that's probably a credit to him as well, because, I don't think he would have done that with the Phillies. I don't think he would have given Cueto that chance.
Hey, Bags, the Giants are 5-3 in the first 8 games. The lineup have changed. There's numerous different changes in and out. I'd like to hear your views on how you appreciate what Gabe Kapler is doing to some of these players, as well as putting, some players all over in this lineup, some guys early up top, and then sometimes they're late in the bottom. Your thoughts on how Gabe Kapler is maneuvering this starting lineup?
Yeah, it's pretty obvious that, they can go almost all right-handed against a lefty and vice versa. And that means that some guys are going to sit more than they otherwise would think they would. Tommy La Stella certainly hasn't played a whole lot early in the season, but had some really, really nice plate appearances when he got a start yesterday. So, and that's just because they had this run of lefties to start the year. But yeah, it's, I think you're going to have to get buy-in from people and get everyone to understand that this is a team that doesn't have, you know, eight everyday players. This is a team that's going to have a lot of moving parts. And where I was concerned is that you're going to have like a guy like Wilmer Flores float around and play third one day, second one day, first one day, and you're really going to hamstring the defense, both because people aren't playing in one spot and because they're moving around. You got people shifting. But so far, you know, we had a couple blips early, but Wilmer Flores has played very nicely defensively already this year. I can think of that one stretch he made at first base on, I think it was DeSclafani, threw a wide one to him, and he stayed on the bag for a big out. He started a nice double play at third base. But I think that, you know, if you're Gabe Kapler, look, you're going to be trying to get as much out of the 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th best hitters on your team, because that's where the Giants have a value advantage over their opponents' 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th best players. They don't have Mookie Betts, but, you know, they do have a good deep bench, and they can try to utilize that, I think, to squeeze out some extra runs, some extra wins. So, you know, it's going to be a balancing act all year. And I think the most interesting thing for me is, what do you do when you ride a hot hand? Because that's part of managing too, but that means you're going to be giving up some matchups if you stay with somebody as an everyday player. So that to me is going to be the interesting thing to watch, is just how this coaching staff sort of manages the ebbs and flows. And do you go for the matchup, or do you go and ride the hot hand? Because we know that that's going to be something that all managers are challenged with.
Boy, great point. Great point. And look, this is a veteran team. They're an older team, one of the oldest in baseball, maybe the oldest starting lineup in baseball. It's only April, and, you know, veteran teams tend to, you know, get hurt and things happen. So that's one of the question marks for me, is how long a veteran team can do this. But I want to ask you this. If you asked Alex Pavlovich of NBC Sports Bay Area the best backup shortstop he's seen in San Francisco, what will he say?
Well, he probably would say Ari Adrianza, because as you know, Marty, he can hit.
That's exactly right. He's on the island with him. But Adrianza scored another big run last night, and Pablo has a couple of home runs, and wow, how about that?
Yeah, I mean, it is funny to look around the league and see the people who you know, were kind of expendable for the Giants or weren't seen as everyday players, and they're still hanging around there, whether it's Pablo or Adam Duvall or I think that's the mark of a good system, right? Is you have people that don't quite fit for you and they end up being good somewhere else. The flip side of that is what did we do wrong to not develop those players into impact players here? But it is, I think, a good testament to the previous regime that there are a lot of former Giants that are around the league.
Well, Melanson is the best example of what you just said. How about Melanson?
Yeah, to me, that's a health issue. I mean, we didn't see those curveballs, especially early on before he had his forearm surgery. I don't think he was able to really pronate his arm as he needed to get that kind of movement, which is so important for him. But yeah, he looks like he's a guy who could really just run with that job in San Diego. And I sort of suspected that when he signed there, he would sign there as the closer, because, you know, to me, he was always kind of insistent on being that guy, that closer. That was what he was signed for. And even when he went to the Braves, everyone assumed that Will Smith would be the closer when they signed him to that big deal. But no, it was Mark Melanson who closed. Mm-hmm. So I had a feeling when he signed with the Padres that they were probably made some sort of promise that, hey, we're going to give you every available shot to take this job and run with it. So everyone was talking about Emilio Pagan and Drew Pomeranz, but I'll tell you what, I drafted Mark Melanson on my fantasy team, and I got Jake McGee too, so I've got a pretty good bullpen going on.
Very good. I'll talk to you in about a month, and we'll see what you say then. But all right. Hey, great having you on, Andy. Seriously, it's just a pleasure to talk ball with you. I know Bill appreciates it too.
And yeah, thanks, Murray.
Yeah, we look forward to having you on again, so have a good Sunday.
Okay, you too. Thanks, Bill. Thanks, Marty.
Okay. That is Extra Bags on Twitter, and of course he writes for The Athletic, and really great baseball discussion on a Sunday morning. Bill and I are come back with Kerry Crowley, and we're going to talk some ball with him. The Giants made a minor transaction this morning. Another backup infielder is part of their alternate site, and Kerry can explain that and get you ready for our next hour coming up right here on the Sports Leader.